Good morning, Rabosai. Welcome to our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. We are now finished with Simen Chaf Beis Hilchas Yichud. We're now going to begin Simen Chaf Gimel, which is the Isser of Hotzas Shechvas Zera Levatala, the prohibition of releasing one's semen or seed. It might be a difference between semen and seed. Zera might not mean semen. Semen might be something else. But the prohibition to be Motzi Zera Biadayim, and in other ways. So, first of all, we're going to see a number of psukim in the Torah that relate, at least in the way Chazal see, what the psukim say. Maybe it's explicit, maybe it's not as explicit. Sorry. Let me redo the screen there. And there we go. So we're going to go through some psukim that are explicit in the Torah that seem to be sources for this iser of a person releasing his seed. So the first place where we see it in Chumash is quite early in Chumash, in Sefer Bereishis and Parsha Yeshev, when we have Yehuda and his sons Er and Onan. And that's where the English word Onanism comes from this pasuk right here. Vayikach Yehuda Ishal Er Bechara Shma Tamar. So Yehuda marries off his son Heir to a young lady named Tamar. And for some reason, the Torah is very enigmatic in presenting that Heir is evil. The Torah doesn't say what he's evil about or how he's evil. Vahi Heir b'chor Yehuda rabbeinei Hashem, v'yimisei Hashem, Hashem kills him, and it doesn't say what his evil was. We'll see in a minute. So once Er dies and he didn't have children, so what has to happen? So Yibum has to happen. Of course, this is before Matan Torah, so there's no mitzvah in the sense of Klal Yisrael's mitzvah of Yibum, but nevertheless, the Avos had some knowledge of certain mitzvahs, and therefore Yehuda comes to Onan, the second brother, and says, come marry Tamar, because your older brother Er died without having any children, therefore Vayomer Yehuda l'Onan, bo aleish zachich v'yabemosa. And the pasuk continues. We'll see Rashi in a second. Vayeda Onan kilo lo yezara. Onan the miabim realized that the children will not be considered his because conceptually the children of the yibum are nikra al shem hames. Vayam therefore, what did he do? V'shiches arza. The simple reading would be that he released his zera to the ground, Liviltina's son Zera Lacha, without giving his Zera to his brother, meaning without actually impregnating her. Rashi explains very explicitly, Dashmi Bifnim, he had intercourse in his wife's body, but when he released the ejaculate, Vizarami Bachutz, he released it outside of her body. And the Torah says about him, about Onan, Vayer b'nei Hashem asher asa, Vayomes gam oso, and he killed him also. And the Chazal understand, what does it mean gam oso? He killed also him. What do you mean also him? Vayomes oso, Hashem killed him. What's gam? So for that, Rashi tells you that that must have been the first brother's issue as well. That must have been, no pun intended on the word issue, that must have been Er's iser, for which he was killed, that must have been his evil as well. Now let's look back at Rashi. When it said that Er was Rabbe Nehashem, Zakt Rashi, Kira Soshal Onan, the evil of Er, the first brother who died, must have been the same Isser as the same evil as Onan. Shnem Rabbe Onan, because it says in the latter part that we saw just a second, Vayom is Gam Oso, the word Gam, to teach us, Kemisasashal Er, Misasashal Onan. Okay, so the reason why Er, the first brother, the second brother, Torah tells us, didn't want to impregnate her because he felt it wouldn't be his children, in a conceptual sense. And the first brother didn't want to impregnate his wife Tamar because he didn't want to make her look, after a woman gives birth, has children, her beauty begins to diminish. He didn't want to diminish her beauty, so therefore, he tried to, on one hand, have Bia, but on the other hand, not let the Zera stay inside of her, but rather be released outside to not impregnate her, so she wouldn't become pregnant, and she therefore wouldn't become less attractive. So therefore, we have two boys, two sons of Yehuda, and both of them violating the same Isser of being Shofech Zera Levatala, of releasing their Zera, not for the purpose of impregnating their wife. So it seems here that the punishment was quite severe, because it says that Hashem killed Er and Hashem killed Onan because of this Isser, and certainly the Isser for Onan is explicit in the Pasuk, and Er, Chazal understand from the word Gam, is also that same Isser. So it seems that this is an Isser that carries with it a severity of enough, it warrants the killing or the death of both Er and Onan. Now, with that in our minds, we could come to a Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah Nida, the problem that we're going to have to sort of encounter is that we're not going to find any Mishnah that says explicitly, nor a Pasuk that says explicitly, that one is not permitted to be Shavar Gzel of Atala. Torah says you can't eat Treif. Torah says you can't be Bol Anida. The Torah says you can't do Avodah Zarah. The Torah says you can't talk Lashon Hara. The Torah doesn't say anywhere that you can't be Shavar Gzel of Atala. We have this story where we see that he did an Avera, he did this, I can't say it's Avera yet, he did this action and for that was killed, but we don't see anywhere where the Torah says explicitly that it's prohibited to do, nor is there a Mishnah that says explicitly. But look what the Mishnah does say. The Mishnah towards the beginning of Nida says that you sometimes have a situation where a woman doesn't know if she's a Nida or not, so she checks herself, and the Gemara says it's good, it's appropriate for a woman to check herself to, you know, make sure she's not a Nida, to check herself regularly. Kol hayad hamar belivdok, a hand that is that does a lot of checking, b'nashim, by women, that's good. Mishubachas. However, u'b'anashim, if a man checks to check if he was if he had keri, if he had an emission, if he ejaculated, that's such a hand should be cut off. Tikatzeitz. Rashi explains. That's 1 second. What does it mean? Kol yad hamar belivdok shebodek is tamid shemarasa. She regularly checks herself to see: did she see dam? Did she not see dam? Is she nida? So, and if by a woman making such a check, that's a praiseworthy enterprise. Shemitoch kach lo asli de safik tuma. Ubaila lo asli de yisura. Remember, in the olden days, it wasn't just a matter of being with her husband; it was a matter of tuma and tara. So the more a woman would check and be aware of her nida status, the more she could ensure that the food in her house and the things in her house would remain tahar and not become tameh. And aside from that, there's also, that which does apply nowadays, she knows that she's tameh and she's not available for her husband if she's a nida. That's as far as women are concerned. That's good that if they would check regularly. However, ube'anoshim by men, Zokt Rashi, shebodek atzma todi ba'amaso, he checks that part of his body, Shema Yatsumenu Keri, to inspect if Keri had been released. Such a hand that is involved in that, Tikatzeitz, his hand should be cut off. Why? Shemischamim, because by touching there, he becomes heated up. Umargish, Kishemim Mashmesh Ba'ama. And when he handles that part of his body, when he handles his Aver to inspect if there has been Keri released, then that could cause a stimulation that will be motzi shechvas zer levatala. So therefore, the Mishnah, sort of in a backhanded way, tells you that being shofek zer levatala, being motzi zer levatala, is problematic, and therefore tells you that you can't check in an inspect if there was keri that came out, as opposed to a woman who it's good if she checks if she's a nida. Fine. On that Mishnah, the Gemara has some very strong language that we'll start off with. And what we will not do yet, which we're going to have to see a little bit later, is what is in fact the Isser of Motzi Zer Levatala. We see that if one does it, you know, then Aaron Onan were killed for it. We see that such a hand that brings oneself to possibly Moses Avatar, such a hand should be cut off. We never said where the Torah says you can't. But we'll have to get there later today. But let's first see what the Gemara says, some very strong language on that Mishnah. Gufa, Rebbe Elazar Omer. Here we're going to have a halacha that is the halacha of going to the bathroom. Says the Gemara, Kol ha'ocheiz ba'ama umashtin, somebody who goes to the bathroom, who urinates, and holds in his hand that part of his body. We'll see there are other ways to be able to go to the bathroom and to go to a user urinal in a way that is that will be safer. But if a person just holds his part of his body and goes to the bathroom, ki'ilu mevi mabul la'olam. What does that mean? It means that, maybe we'll see this inside, it means that the Torah says that the Mabul, the people in the Mabul, die because of Chamas. What was their Aveira? So it's not clear what their Aveira is. This opinion is saying that their Aveira was that the people of the Mabul were Motzi Zer Levatala, and that's why they were killed. And therefore, somebody who goes to the bathroom holding himself fully with his hand, without the care that we'll see a little bit maybe later, or in the halachas of going to the bathroom, such a person is maybe Mabul Lolam, because that's what the people of the Mabul did. The problem is, ask the Gemara, but wait a second, if a person is going to go to the bathroom and not going to hold himself, then if he's not going to be able to aim properly, he's going to end up with wet shoes. And he's going to look, people are going to see that his shoes are, he comes out of the bathroom, and they look down at his shoes, the guy walks back into shul after he went to the bath, they see his shoes has little drips on it, and they're going to think that he doesn't have, that he has a problem of krus shavcha, that maybe he has his, which we learned about a few months, a year or two ago, he has a problem with krus shavcha, and therefore maybe his aver has been cut, and he doesn't have the ability to shoot the urine directly where it's supposed to go into the urinal, to the toilet, and it's just dripping down. And if somebody has that injury of a krus shavcha, then he can't have children. So if he has children, it must be that somebody else's kids. Oh my gosh, he's not the father of these children. V'nimtza motzi laz albono shemam zerim. If somebody, you see how far we take this? The Gemara says if he comes back, walks back into shul with drips on his shoes, people are going to think that he can't, that he has a problem, and therefore that he can't have children. If he can't have children, then why are there three kids living in his house with his wife? Must be his wife must have slept with somebody else to have the kids, because he obviously can't. And therefore, we should be worried about the chshash mamzer, people, of course, what people will say. People will say that his kids might be mamzerim, and therefore we should allow a person to be able to aim properly when he has to go to the urinal. That's what the Chacham countered to Rebbe Eliezer. Amar Lahan said, Rebbe Eliezer, you know what? I don't care what people say. Better to be accused by other people than for Hashem to think. Better that other people should accuse you than Hashem should accuse you. Mutar shiyotzi la'az al b'neim shemamzerim. Better that people should think that your kids are mamzerim. Va'al yaseh atzma rasha sha'a achas lifnei hamakom. What's this? What's the severity of, again, holding oneself and aiming properly when one goes to the bathroom, kol kach lama, what's the big deal? That's the concern. That's the concern, that by handling oneself, again, the Gemara is going to suggest how to do it in a way that one can aim properly when they go to the urinal, which we're not going to get into right now. Maybe we should, but we're not going to get into that. We're going to talk about just the parameters of this motzi zer levatala. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, kol motzi zer levatala chayev misa, as we saw by the case of Aaron Onan, that he was killed because of this activity. They bring some other pasuk, and the Ravasi says somebody who does this is like they did avodah zara, like many other yisurim, like the person did avodah zara, because also from some other source now. The Levush was a Talmud of the Ramah. And on the very first Seif of that which we'll learn in a minute, we didn't learn the Shulchan Aruch yet, we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch in a minute, but the Levush who came after the Shulchan Aruch, but he gives a little bit of a background of what the nature of this Isra is, which, again, we have not yet defined what the real Pasuk is that says you can't be Shefech Zelavatala. The Levush gives us a sort of an introduction. Asil Adam Lahotzi Shech Vazelavatala. Person can't release his seed for no, you know, without the purpose of procreation. Vavon zeh gadolhu, it's considered a severe violation. Now look what he says. He gives an interesting explanation. Shelo nivra hazera ba'adam, why did Hashem put zera in a man? Ela liyashe bo esholam, to populate the world. Ki lo letohu bra ala shemis yitzra, Hashem didn't create the world for nothingness, but to be populated. And therefore, if that is the reason why a person has the zera, kishu mashchiso, when a person destroys his zera, releases it onto sticks and stones, hareil kumachrav esolam, it's like he's destroying the world, because that's supposed to be a power to populate the world. And by not populating the world, it's as though you're destroying the world. And this was, this is who says it explicitly. Zuhi ha'ashchasa sh'asu Dor HaMabul. This was the Avera of Dor HaMabul. What does it say? Look how he learns the Pasuk. Shnemar Abahana says, by Dor HaMabul, ki hishchis kol basar darko al ha'aretz. What does it mean that they destroyed their way on the land? It means literally, he took his derech, the power that he has to populate the world, to impregnate their wives, they were mashchis it to the ground, meaning they dropped it to the ground. Sheshchisu es zaram. And therefore, what was the punishment? The punishment was, interestingly enough, that they were punished by living through the mabul, or being killed by the mabul, which was boiling liquid. Nidonim beroschen meha mabul. Because what was their avera? Their avera was that they were chote with warm liquid. Ki beroschen chatu, beroschen nidonim. Mida kenegen mida. Fascinating. Okay, what a fascinating perspective of changes our perspective of what Dor HaMabul was. We always thought the Chamas is stealing. So here he's going with the Chazal that understands that they were Shofech Zeh Levatala, and that's what brought the Mida Kenegan Mida of the boiling waters. So next time your grandson sits at your Shabbos table in Parshas Noach and asks, you know, how come the people of Dor HaMabul, you don't have to say anything. You could, just remember that you learned this, and you will, you'll remember what we learned. You don't have to necessarily share with them the gory details of why the waters of the Mabul Chazal teachers were boiling, because it was a kapara for that which they sinned with a hot liquid. Fine. There's a well-known Zohar. It's well-known because I don't know any Zohars except those that are quoted in the Halacha. This is a Zohar that makes its way into the Beis Yosef, into the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Zohar. One of the few times that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Zohar. Not in the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Beis Yosef. Says the Beis Yosef, again, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, Kasu b'sefer ha-Zohar. Shechomur avon hotza ze levatala mikol she'ar averos shabatora. Wow. The Zohar says, and that's why by the Hasidim, this issue, again, no pun intended, this Inyan is a very, 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 very big Inyan, and the idea of Shmiras HaBris is very big by the Hasidim, specifically because the Zohar says that this is considered the biggest Aveira in the Torah. We don't even see where it says in the Torah that you can't. We'll get there. But that's the Zohar tells us that it's worse, Mikol Sha'ar Aveira Sheba Torah, and therefore we have to be exceedingly careful with this Isser. What does it mean that this is the most severe Aveira in the Torah? What does that mean? So, I'll tell you what the Prima Gadim says. Let's see what the Prima Gadim says over here in this small print, if you could see it. The Prima Gadim suggests, look about 8 words in, Dimragil b'chedzeh kosher lifrosh hemenu yosem ishar arveiros. Maybe what it means when the Zohar says that this is the biggest Aveira, it means that it's an Aveira that if a person has become habituated in, if a person has become accustomed to be Motzi Zeh Levatala, it's the hardest Aveira to be Porish from, to cease and desist. Once a person gets into a habit where they do this, it's the hardest Aveira to separate from. That's perhaps how the Prima Gadim understands what it means that it's the biggest Aveira in the Torah. But then the Prima Gadim says, I like what I'm saying, but that's not really what the Zohar really says. Aval, look at the last 4 words of this Prima Gadim, Aval be'emes b'zohar mashma kipshuto. The language of the Zohar simply sounds like it's the biggest Aveira, and that is what it is. So my nice insight about the difficulty, the challenge of separating oneself from it is true, but the simple reading of the Zohar sounds like it is considered the biggest Aveira, which is, again, we haven't yet learned what the Aveira is, but it seems to, whatever that Aveira is, it seems to be, at least in the Zohar's words, a severe, a highly severe Aveira. Now let's see the Shulchan Aruch. This is the first if of Simen Chaf Gimel. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Asr lahotzi shich vaser levatala. And believe it or not, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Zohar in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Va'avon zeh chomer mikol Aveira Shabbat Torah. So yes, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Zohar. Lefikach, therefore it is prohibited when a person is married, Lohe Adam Dashmi Bifnim, a person shouldn't have intercourse with his wife, Vizormi Bachos, but ejaculate outside of her. That would be an Isser of this hotzah shechmasel v'atah, that would be prohibited. Meaning, the chiddush is that even though a person's not doing it through masturbation, but rather doing it in the context of a marital, conjugal act with his wife, even though it's the context of a maisa bia with his wife, which is a mitzvah, right? It's a mitzvah. But if he doesn't release inside of his wife, that would still constitute an iser. That's the chiddush that the Shulchan Aruch is telling you. We have a very interesting Sefer Hasidim that I would like you not to repeat. I mean, maybe you should repeat it if it ever comes up. It's an extraordinary Sefer Hasidim that's quoted on the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch, on the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, the Chalkas Mechokek, and the Beis Shmuel. And the Chalkas Mechokek, again, quotes the Sefer Hasidim. This is what he says. He says, let's say a person, you know, I've had conversations with people and people trying to get married, and they're struggling, and they're struggling, and they're struggling, and a guy who's divorced year after year after year wants to get remarried, and they're just struggling, can't find, and they say, you know, at a certain point, they say, you know, how could I maintain my Kedusha? The body, the Yetzirah is very strong, the body wants something, and you can't, there's no halachic way outside of the concept of marriage. Of course, that's why the Torah wants us to get married. Yes, of course, get married. But if a person's not married, it's a tremendous, nisayon. So let's say a guy says, you know, I can't control myself anymore. It's either I'm going to, you know, either be with a nida or an eshes ish, or do this, a motzi zelavatala. What's better? So says the Sefer HaChasidim, im misyare sha'al yikosho be'eshes ish or benida. Let's say it's that time of a month, a person is married and his wife is off limits because she's a nida. And he's not able to control himself. So it's either he's going to be with his wife and violate Nida, or he will be motzi zelav atala. Says the Sefer Hasidim, if a person has that choice, that's the only two options. Either to be with a Nida or an Ishes Ish, or to be motzi zelav atala. Tov lo lehotzi zelav atala. It's better, doesn't mean it's allowed. It's better that he should be motzi zelav atala, rather than, God forbid, of course, be with a Nida or an Ishes Ish. Okay, I don't think that's too much of a chiddush. But if he does, Rak Yisana Mem Yom Bimeha Kayetz. You should fast for 40 days. And I don't mean 40 days in the middle of January and February. I mean 40 days in the middle of July and August, when it's a long day. O Yeshe Bakor Bimeha Charev. Or you should sit in, roll in some snow during the freezing winter. Chuvas HaMishkel, yeah. Some kind of Chuvas HaMishkel, yeah. That's what the Sefer Hasidim says. Okay, so is he saying a big chiddush? Halach l'maisa, he's not telling you anything's mutter. He's telling you it's, of course it's aser, it's severely aser, but, and nida is a tremendous kapara, but if it's better than what's worse, which is nida. Can I ask you a question? Ah, exactly, says the Beis Shmuel, according to that, lefi zeh, mashakosa bazohar, when the Zohar said that this is the worst aveir, you see, it's not true. It's not to be taken literally. When the Zohar says, v'chan da'avan motzi shechazer ha'chom yikla averus, when the Zohar says that this is the worst aveir, you see, lav dafka, it's not dafka. Because we just showed you that if you have an option between motzi zeh v'atala, as opposed to putting the zera to good work in your wife, when she's a nida, or in an eshes ish, God forbid, where of course it's aser d'oraisa, you know, maybe in Yarga, yeah, but of course, those are more severe. So it must be that when the Zohar says that this is the worst aveir in the world, it doesn't mean it literally. It doesn't mean it literally, because it can mean it literally, because if it was really the worst aveir in the world, then we would not say to do this aveir of motzi zeh v'atala. We would say, go ahead and be with a nida, go ahead and be with an eshes ish. And we don't. So it must be, it's lav dafka. Fascinating insight of the Beis Shmuel. Now, one second, I just want to, we'll come to this next. Now I want to talk about, we discussed that it's a usur and it's severe, and I apologize for this. Just redoing something quickly. So now we talked about that it's severe, it's usur, it's terrible, it's perhaps among the most severe averas, but maybe not the most severe avera. We never said what the actual iser is. Where does it say in the Torah that a person can't be motzi zeh levatala? So I'm going to present to you what the poskim offer And it's not clear what the actual pasuk in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to do it. I mean, the Torah says by Aaron Onan that they were killed because of it. But where does the Torah say you can't do it? So let's start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is speaking about the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The trick, of course, is Gemara Sanhedrin and Daf Nun Ches. Noach is where the sugya of b'nei Noach. This is Daf Nun Ches and Beis, right after, you know, that sugya Nun Ches, Nun Ches. And there's yisod that when you have some mitzvahs that were written before Matan Torah, some mitzvahs that were written after Matan Torah, what about a mitzvah or halach that was written before Matan Torah? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Kol mitzvah shenemra lebnei Noach, v'nishneis besinai lezev lezeh nemra. The Gemara suggests that if there's a halacha that was only written before Har Sinai and doesn't get repeated after Har Sinai, that only applies to Jews. However, if there's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that was written before Har Sinai and it's repeated after Har Sinai. Well, the repeating after Har Sinai, repetition after Har Sinai, is for Klal Yisrael, and that which appeared before Har Sinai is to apply and continually apply for all of history to all humanity. That's what the Gemara sets down as a klal. Now the Gemara asks a question, really? You're telling me that any mitzvah that was previous to Har Sinai and after Har Sinai applies to both Jews and non-Jews alike? Frek the Gemara, what do you mean? Vare priya v'rivya was said to Bnei Noach, right? It was said to Adam HaRishon, Purvu. And it was said again after Har Sinai, after the husbands and wives separated themselves from one another before Har Sinai. The Torah says that after Har Sinai, go back to your tents, go back to your wives, go back to building families. So it was repeated, this mitzvah of Purva was said, go back to your families. So it was before and after Har Sinai, so that it should apply to both Jews and non-Jews alike. And we know that that's not true. We know that only Jews are obligated to Purva, but Goyim are not obligated to Purva. Let's see that inside. Vare priya v'rivya, shnemra levnei Noach, tichsiv v'atem Purva, right, to Adam HaRishon. V'nishneis besinai, but it was repeated to Har Sinai, lechem orlehem shuva lechem lo aleichem, that Bnei Yisrael should go back to their wives, back to their tents, back to building families. And we know that Yisrael nemra v'lo levnei Noach. That's what the Gemara says. I don't really care about what the Gemara answers, but Tosfos says something that needs to be analyzed. Tosfos has a very simple question. Tosfos says, why are you assuming that Purvu, how do you know in your question, you're saying that we know that only Jews have Purvu and not Goyim. How do you know that Goyim don't have Purvu? Maybe Goyim do have Purvu. Tema. Menalon de lo nemra levnei Noach, asks Tosos. How could the Gemara assume that Bnei Noach don't have Purvu, only Jews? Maybe Goyim also have Purvu? Well, I have an easy answer. What's the obvious answer? If Goyim had Purvu, there wouldn't be Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach, there would be 8 mitzvahs Bnei Noach, right? V'im yishum de lo chashev bahadi Sheva mitzvahs. Is that a good proof? Is it a good proof to say that, oh, there's no mitzvahs, there's no Purvu by Goyim, because then they would have 8 mitzvahs, not 7. We know they only have 7, and they don't have 8, so it must be Purvu is not one of their mitzvahs. Is that a good proof? No, you know why? Because the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach are all losa, says. There could be other assays that Goyim have, but they will not be included. What? That would be pretty harsh. You're saying that Lo Sirtzach includes the mitzvah to have children? Remember, here we're not talking about, we didn't mention yet Shvichas Elevatal. We just mentioned, is there a mitzvah for Goyim to procreate? Does a guy have to get married? Or could he stay celibate his whole life? Is there a chiv from the Torah, a guy who is not allowed to kill, he's not allowed to eat Avram and Achai, he's not allowed to do Birchas Hashem, he's not allowed to do whatever other things he can't do. Does he also have to get married and have a boy and a girl? Is that a guy's responsibility by being in this world? So the Gemara says, definitely not. Shrek tells us, maybe. Yeah, maybe a guy also has. Maybe that's one of the Shem, maybe that's also a mitzvah on a guy. So the Gemara tells us that, no, it can't be because it's not on the list. Hashem mitzvahs benach. Says tells us, no. Maybe it's just, maybe a guy do have the mitzvah to have Purvu, but it's not on the list because the list only has low sases, low sirtzach, low signov, low sinov, all the lows they have. But they don't have, the mitzvahs I say are not listed, but they might have the mitzvahs I say, they're just not listed in the Shem mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Because the, good question. Leave that aside. So Tosa says, Ha'amra la'el, kum ha'sei lo kachadra. It's not counted in the mitzvahs, but maybe Goyim do have Purvu. look at what Tosfos answers. Again, the question of Tosfos is, how do we know that Goyim don't have Puruvu? So Tosfos says, V'yishlomar deshev al taisa namihu. You think that Puruvu is only a mitzvah asay? Nope. Puruvu is also a mitzvah lo sasay. Where is Puruvu a mitzvah lo sasay? What do you mean? Puruvu says go and have children, multiply and have children. You know, have bia and build a family. That's positive. That's a mitzvah asay. Says, tells us wrong. Puruvu has a lo sasay. Puruvu tells you that there's something that you can't do. And therefore it could be, if Goyim were bound by it, it should be in the list of things that Goyim can't do. What's that? Look at the next seven words. Demisha mitzuva al priya verivya, someone who has the mitzvah of Puruvu, is mitzuva she lo lahashchis zera. If you have a positive mitzvah of Puruvu, that means you have the negative iser, to not, you have the losa, say, to not be mashchis zera. And therefore, what is Tosfos saying? Tosfos is saying that if Goyim had Puruvu, it would be listed in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, because it's not just, what do you mean, we only list assays, we only list los assays? It has a los assay, it has a los assay of not being Mashchis Zera. And therefore, since Goyim don't have Sheva Mitzvahs, they only have Sheva Mitzvahs, they don't have an eighth mitzvah, it must be they don't have Puruvu, because Puruvu does have a los assay. Now, that's what Tosfos says in terms of do Goyim have Puruvu or not, and Tosfos concludes, the Gemara concludes, that Goyim do not have the mitzvah of Puruvu, and presumably they don't have the lo sasei of Puruvu of not being Mashchis Zera. So it seems from here that, by the way, that Goyim are allowed to be Mashchis Zera. That's what it seems from this Tosfos. Again, I didn't look this up, but that's what it seems from here. What I'm taking out is something, one point, that I'm extracting from this Tosfos. Tosfos says that the iser of shchasa zera is an outgrowth, or it's the losa asay form of the mitzvah asay of pru urvu. And somebody who is mitzvah in pru urvu, therefore will have the mitzvah, the losa asay of not being mashchis their zera. Presumably, if you don't have the mitzvah of pru urvu, you don't have the, like a guy, you don't have the iser of being mashchis zera. Wow, Tosfos just told me the source for the Isser of Hashchas HaZera. The Isser for Hashchas HaZera comes from the Mitzvahs Asay of Pru Urvu. Wow. Because at the time of B'nai Noach, they had the Mitzvah of Pru Urvu. Before Har Sinai, Goyim had the Mitzvah of Pru Urvu, right? As God told Adam, Pru Urvu. And therefore, until Har Sinai, Goyim did have the Mitzvah of Pru Urvu. After Har Sinai, Puruvu was no longer left by B'nai Adam, B'nai Noach, and was transferred to Klal Yisrael, like some other mitzvahs, like some other mitzvahs. So, 2 points. Number one, it sounds from this Tosfos, from the fact that Tosfos is talking about a Yuchayev, a Goyis Chayev, not Chayev, is included in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it's a Losasei, it's an Itzasei. From that conversation of Tosfos, it sounds like we're talking about an Isser D'oraisa. Because we're questioning, is it considered lo sasei or nasei as part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach or not part of the Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? And we're dealing with Psukim and Mitzvahs Midoraisa. It sounds like the Isser of Hashchas HaZera is an Isser D'oraisa. And that's A. And B, where is the source for this Isser? It's the negative application of the positive mitzvah of Puruvu. So Puruvu that says that you should have children, part of that says, and you can't do something that will take away the possibility of having children, meaning by releasing the zera elsewhere in a way that will not produce offspring. That is an incredible find that we have just found in Tosfos. It seems that the Isser of Hashchas HaZera is the negative side of the coin of Puruvu. Now we know where the Isser comes from, Puruvu. That is a fabulous, fabulous Shaila. If you already fulfilled Puruvu, does that mean that there's no Isser of Hashchas HaZera? That's a fabulous question. for some reason you're wrong. The question is why. That's the Rabbanan. The mitzvah to continue having children later on in life, which is a mitzvah from the Midivrei Sofrim, it's more than a Rabbanan. The Psukim and Yeshaya that say, I think Yeshaya, that say you should continue to have children even after you've filled the base mitzvah of a boy and a girl to continue to have children. Yes, it's a mitzvah, but it's not on a Daraisa. We're working in the world of Daraisas. So yes, your questions are fabulous questions. Some people fulfill the mitzvah purvu, so maybe there's no Isser of Hashchas Zera for such a person. And that's not correct. Why are you wrong? I don't know. But you're asking a good question. It's a very good question. Okay. Now, to clarify whether or not it's really Nisr Daraisa or not, Tosas, I said, is Mashdas Daraisa. The Prima Gadim, this is not the Prima Gadim on Evan HaEzer, what we're learning. Rather, this is the Prima Gadim on the halachas of going to the bathroom, where it talks about those halachas that we mentioned in the Gemara Nida, about how a person is supposed to be able to aim properly when they, reach the urinal. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about that in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, in Simon Gimel, in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. And on that, the Prima Gadda makes the following comment. He says, V'hotzah zel v'atolah have a iser Torah. And therefore, in a case of a safek, whatever the case would be, how you'd have a safek, hotzah zel v'atorah question, sveikul bi l'chumra. Interesting. So he's saying 2 points. Number one, it's an Issa Daraisa, as we were in Medayik and Tosus. And B, once it's an Issa Daraisa, then it's going to be, Safek of this Issa will be L'chumra. Fascinating. That was the first piece of what I wanted to say about where the source for Hotzah Selvatala is. I'm now going to show you what might be a different source. A Bach. The Bach, on that same place, in his commentary on the tour, the Shulchan Aruch, really on the tour, about the halakhs of going to the bathroom, says, where is the Isra of Hotzah Zel Vatel learned from? Kevin de Isra Hotzah Zel Vatel Asi Mi? V'neshmarta Mikol Davara. Oh, it's a totally different place. It's a totally different source. He says also, it's from this other, it's from Pasuk, and therefore it's going to be a Sveikot Oraisa, therefore we're going to have to be Machmir, if it's a Safek on a Daraisa. But it's not from the mitzvah of Pur Vu, rather it's from this pasuk of Nishmarta Mikol Davar Ra. What does the Torah say there? This is a pasuk that's talking about going to war. And when a person goes to war, then they think anything goes. They can do whatever they want. Rai L'davar, you saw what Hamas did when they came in, when they broke into the south, the terrible things that they did that are beyond description, because they let loose. They just were not bound by any, they went to war in a way that was just not civilized, that was barbaric, that was not bound by any parameters of morality whatsoever. And the Torah tells us, when a Jew goes to war, ki teitzei milchama al oivecha, v'nishmarta mikol davar ra. You have to be wary not to do anything ra. What does that mean? What does that mean? The Torah doesn't tell us. Well, in that context, the Torah says something in the next pasuk. The next pasuk says that if a person has a nocturnal emission, he's tameh. Ki yeh b'cha isha shelo yeh tahor. Mikrei laila, meaning he has keri at night. Something came out from him while he was sleeping. So he's tameh, and he has to go outside. And the next day, he'll go to the mikvah. And after harei shemesh, he'll be tahor. What's called a bal keri. So we could deduce that perhaps when the first pasuk says that you shouldn't do anything bad when you're going out to battle, that means that you shouldn't cause yourself to have an emission, a hotzaras levatala. And that's what the Bach seems to say. The Bach seems to say that that's what the Torah means when it says that v'nishmarat mikol davar, it's specifically talking about making sure that a person shouldn't be motzisa levatala. That's the v'nishmarat mikol davara that the Torah is warning us against. So this is a totally different source. V'nishmarat is a lo tase. The word shomar, pen, va'al, those are all words that carry a connotation of lo tase, lo tase. Therefore, it would be a mamish lo tase. The way we learned previously from Tosfos, it was the inverse of the mitzvah tase puravu. So we now have two different sources from the Torah. What could be the potential iser of hashchas tase levatala? Tosfos is mash that it's the destruction of Purvu. The Bach says it's a violation of a Nishmarat Mikol Davara, okay, let's suggest perhaps a third source. I think this is the most creative. Because again, we don't have any Gemara that says explicitly there's no pasuk that says explicitly don't be mashkes el batal. There's no Gemara or Mishnah that says explicitly don't. It says how terrible it is, but it doesn't say where we see it in the Torah. So we're trying to find where in the Torah we see it. So the Aruch Laner comments on the Gemara neither that we saw early. We saw earlier that one who is mashkes zera levatala is, you know, it's like that's what the people in the time of the Mabel did, and therefore he's going to bring somebody who does that. It brings troubles to the world. Maybe Mabel la'olam. Now, this is a side point which we're going to have to talk about at greater length, and a little not today, probably another time. Are women obligated in the issue of hashchasa zera levatala? You'll tell me, it's a scientific impossibility. Women don't have zera. They have eggs. Okay, so maybe the question is, could they destroy their eggs? But even without that, do they have an iser to destroy the zera of a man? Could they cause the zera of a man to be lost? Either by manipulation of their husband, or after they're together with their husband, could they cause whatever zera has that was put into their bodies to be ruined? And to be not to stay inside their bodies. Are they allowed to do that? So that's going to be a question we'll have to talk about another time. Are women obligated in the Issur Hatzar Zera Levatala? And we're going to see this in Machlokas, but we're going to get there another time. But the Aruch Laner says something incredible. He says, if we assume that the sin in the Mabel was Hatzar Zera Levatala, can I ask you a question? Who is destroyed in the Mabel? Just men? Absolutely not. The people who destroyed the Mabel were everybody. The Mabel was an equal opportunity destruction. Everybody, men and women alike, were killed in the Mabel. Why should that be? If only the men, if it's because of Zera Levatala and only men are obligated in Zera Levatala, so why should the poor women be victims of the Mabel? Says the Aruch Laner, it must be that a woman is obligated in the Issur of Hashchas Zera Levatala. It must be that they were involved in this prohibition as well. Kilu mevi mabul la'olam, we saw the Gemara told us, what? Yeah, good point. Something to think about. So says the Aruch Laner, kilu mevi mabul la'olam, so it does this, it's like he's bringing mabul, mizeho chichu haramban, varashba, varan, digam isha mitzuva al hashchas hazera, that women, because women were destroying the mabul, it must be that they're all equally involved in the, also have this iser. Neged Rabbeinu Tam, against Rabbeinu Tam, who says that women don't have the iser. Why would all the other Rishonim say that women do have the iser? All the other Rishonim say they do have the iser because Shari B'Mabel Gam HaNashim Nanshu. Okay, but there we see that everyone was destroyed. We see that might have been their sin. But where does the Torah say you can't do it? Omnam lo nisbar b'shum makom. There's no Gemara, like I said, that says you. This pasuk teaches me that you can't have. You can't be mashkes zera. So we saw Tosis said it's because of Purufu. We saw, who was it? The Bach said it's because of an Ishmarat we call Davara. So, we'll see someone else, we'll say another source. Let's look what the Aruch Laner suggests. Ula niyas daiti, ula yesh lomra. Maybe you could say that the source for the Isser, the source in the Torah for the Isser of Hashchas Zera Levatala is from the following. The Gemara has a line in Bava Kamma that says, how do you know you can't injure yourself? How do I know that I can't take a knife and start hurting myself? And how do I know that I can't bang my head against a concrete wall? How do I know that I'm not allowed to injure myself? So it says, because Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis. If I'm not allowed to do Bal Tashchis I can't destroy wood for no good reason, then I certainly can't destroy my body for no good reason. So if that's true, that you can't destroy your body, if that's the case, maybe l'chein yishlon dav hashchas hazera ichad gam kemishon bal tashchis. A little bit of a stretch, I think. if we learn, if the Gemara teaches us, however the Gemara teaches us, that you can't destroy your body, you can't do physical harm to yourself, because it's bal tashchis of your body. Well, you know what? Maybe destroying your zera is also bal tashchis. Okay, you know, I think it's a little bit of a stretch. But can I ask you a question? Do Bnei Noach have the Isra Bal Tashchis? No. So therefore, do the people in the Dor HaMabel have the Isra Bal Tashchis? Presumably no. So why are you telling me that the people of Dor HaMabel, their sin was that they were Motzi Zeh Levatala, and therefore they were punished? They don't even have Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis is a Jewish mitzvah. It's only one of the Taryag, not one of the Shemitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Why should they be punished if they don't have the Isra Bal Tashchis? And you're telling me the Isra, if we suggest that the Isra of Hatzaras Elevatel is Bal Tashchis, and Goyim don't have the Isra of Bal Tashchis, so why should they be punished? Look at this very beautiful, it doesn't sound so halachic, but it's very beautiful. Says the Aruch Haner, Yeshlomet HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baral Olamol HaShefes. Like somebody mentioned earlier, that like Pesach Sad mentioned earlier, that Hashem created the world for being populated. Kedichsev, the Pasuk, I think, in Yeshaya, Lo Tobra, Hashem didn't create the world for nothingness, rather Lasheves, to populate it, to inhabit it, Yitzhar, He created it. V'kevan shekol hador hara hahu lo ratzu l'sayeh l'sheves. Since the whole generation were all involved in this spilling seed, and therefore not populating the world, therefore, they were trying to create an unpopulated world. So Hashem said, okay, I'll depopulate the world. I'll unpopulate the world. It's an interesting perspective, but again, he didn't answer his question. So he's saying that they were punished not because they did the Isra Bal Tashchis. They don't have the Isra Bal Tashchis. It's just they weren't interested in populating the world. So Hashem says, okay, so I won't have the world populated. I'll kill you all. That doesn't really answer. Then it's not a punishment for Bal Tashchis because they didn't have Bal Tashchis. It's just saying, you're not interested in populating the world, so I will have the world unpopulated. I'll kill you, but not because of you did an Isra of Hatzaras Elevatel, which is Bal Tashchis. They don't have Bal Tashchis. Okay, fine. A little bit of an unusual analysis, but either way, we now have a third mahalach of what the Isra is. Tosus told us that there's no, it's the lack of purvu. The Bach told us it's the Isra of Nishmata Mikol Davara. And here we see that it's the Aruch Haner says, excuse me, that it's a violation of Bal Tashchis. Three so far. We're now going to see the fourth and final suggestion of what is the Isser of Bimotz L'Zer L'Vatala. And this is from the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan. Who is the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan? Rav Yitzchak Mikorbei, who, from the Bali Tosis, lived in France. He lived in 1210 to 1280, and he was a contemporary of Rav Moshe Mikutzi, who wrote the Sefer Mitzvot HaGadol. So there's two svarim, the Sefer Mitzvot HaGadol, written by an older contemporary, and a Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan. Why did he write the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan? Because Sefer Mitzvot HaGadol was too long, and therefore this younger contemporary, Rav Yitzchak, figured it's too long, so let me make like a kitzer, something that's a little shorter, that's easier to finish and to learn. So he wrote the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan. It's a Sefer Mitzvot, it's one of the Mani HaMitzvot. Interesting to note that when he wrote it in seven sections so you could finish a seventh each day of the week. And apparently, the Smak, Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan, Smak, was finished in 1277. It became one of the most widespread halachic works before printing. Interesting bit of Jewish history that I wouldn't have known. Thank you, Bar Ilan, for sharing that a bit. So what does the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan say? A very cryptic one-liner. Shelo lahashchis zera. One of the mitzvahs is not to be mashchis zera. Really? It's one of the mitzvahs? Where? Which one? Kedichsiv lo sin af. Really? When the Aseres Hadibros says, do not commit adultery, that means don't spill seed? Adultery means an eshes ish. Adultery is adultery. This isn't adultery. There's no woman around. That's the problem. There's no woman around. Why are you calling this adultery? And he makes this drasha that we will not find anywhere in Shas. Lo sehen el af. What do those three words mean? Lo tin af, which he's dashening. Lo sehene la'af. don't derive pleasure la'af from the nose. So that line is not appearing in any Gemara. So he's making up this drasha. It happens to be, I found it in a Rambam. The Rambam in the Perashat Hashanah says that you're not allowed to smell. It's a drasha that the Rambam says that you shouldn't smell the a married woman's walking by and you smell her perfume. That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate. And that is what the Rambam says, is you shouldn't losinaf to be, you know, smelling a married woman's perfume is akin to losinaf. It's, you know, drawing your attraction towards a married woman. So I guess married women should not wear much perfume. And if you're the man on the man's side, you should not be smelling a married woman's perfume other than your own wife. That I understand. Losan elaaf. Don't derive hana from the nose. I hear that. Don't smell a married woman's perfume. That could be an extension of like an asmachta kind of thing from losanaf. But what in the world was losanaf have to do with hashchas Yisrael v'atala? Very hard to understand. So the Madana Yantif says, yeah, there has to be a printing mistake here. It doesn't make sense. What does losanaf have to do with losana la'af? That losana, there is no such gemara. Ra'isi says Madana Yantif, Ra'isi b'smak. This smack that we're quoting, Shalol lahashris zeres, from where could the siv lo sin af, which we dash lo sen el af. There is no such gemara. And even if there is some kind of drasha that the Rambam says, it means you shouldn't smell perfume with your nose. So what's nothing to do with hashris zera? Says the Madaniyav, the lachen, karav elai shu toz sofar, v'tzarech lomer lo sehei barchan niuf, based on the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. There shouldn't be niuf in you. You shouldn't do a niyuf. Not just you shouldn't do niyuf with a married woman. You shouldn't do niyuf based on Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. Who is Tana de Rabbi Yishmael? This is a Gemara that is in that same sugya in Ida that we saw earlier, where it talked about the severity of Hatzar Salvatara. And the Gemara in Ida has the following quote from Rabbi Lazar. Your hands have become filled. The Paskin, the Nevi'im says, your hands have become filled with blood. I mean, you've killed with your hands. Eilu says the Gemara. This refers to somebody who does niyuf with his hands, who masturbates with his hand. Tana de Beir Yishmael, delo tinaf, lo tehe becha niyuf. Lo tinaf is explained to mean not just that you shouldn't commit adultery, but you shouldn't do niyuf with yourself. That's masturbation. So masturbation seems to be an extrapolation from some, you know, way of darshaning the word losinaf. Fine. So that is a different source of what the smak might mean. He said, I actually found a smak on a cloth from the year Shnas Tzadi Vav Lelav Hashishi, which is, I have to figure out, I guess it's, I don't know, a few hundred years old. And the Taka says, the way I'm learning it, that he's referring to lo sinaf in the sense of this chazal, lo sinaf means that you shouldn't do niyuf with your hands, you shouldn't do masturbation with, that's like an extension of lo sinaf. But this clearly is not a simple reading of a pasuk. I don't think that would be an issa d'oraisa. That would be more like an asmachta, if anything, if this is the source. So we have, to sum up, we have four possible sources of what the Issur of Hatzaras Lavatara. We have this one, which was Los Enough, that we just saw, a little bit of a stretch. The most, I think, compelling one is Tosus, who says it's a bitl of Puruvu. We saw the Bach, who says that it's like an extension of Baal Tashchis, just like you can't destroy your body, you can't destroy Zera. And we also saw Vinishmarat Mikol Davara. And what's going to be the nafkamina of all this whole discussion? The nafkamina is going to be, what I think we'll have to discuss next week, is the very important shayla, halacha lemaisa, are women bound in the Issur Zeh L'Vatala? Because if it's a pruervu mitzvah, then women don't have the chiv of pruervu, and therefore they shouldn't have the Issur Zeh L'Vatala. If it's lasinaf, that should be problematic. If it's baltashas, that should be problematic. If it's Vinishmarat Mikol Davara, that should be problematic, because those are all those essays. So that hopefully we'll see next week are women bound by the Issur of Zera Levatala. And we will also see next week the halachos of marrying a katana. Is marrying a katana whom you can't, if the Issur is Puravu, Therefore, you can't be Motzizel Vatala because you have to do Puravu. But if you marry a Katana who you can't do Puravu yet because she's 10 years old and not yet able to bear children, so is that an Isser of Hatzarazel Vatala or not? So Be'ez Hashem, we'll have to see that.